In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 18th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, last week, our gospel reading from Matthew 18, 1 to 20, told us that when our brother in Christ sins against us, we are to go. Go and gain a brother, with God's promise that because of Jesus, there is forgiveness. Even for you. In essence, go to your brother with the good news of forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration and peace. This week, we get the second half of Matthew 18, and it begins with Peter's question, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? It's hard to know exactly what's in Peter's mind. But he seems to want to set some sort of limit on forgiveness. So he says, as many as seven times. And Jesus, who loves to exaggerate to make a point, gives Peter an answer that far exceeds his number. And the answer Jesus gives is not 490, 70 times seven. It's much greater than that. And you know it. Because in the very next verse, Jesus begins to tell a parable about the unforgiving servant. And in this parable, we see how forgiveness works in the kingdom of God. How forgiveness works now that God in Christ has come into the world as King. Now, I must warn you that there are at least 10 sermons in this parable, but I'm not going to preach 10 sermons today. I'm not going to talk about the problem of what if a person you need to forgive hasn't asked to be forgiven? And I'm not going to talk about the relationship between your emotions and your desire to forgive when you've been so deeply and badly hurt. In fact, I'm probably not going to talk about a number of other questions you have in your mind when you hear this parable. But today I will say this. Jesus means what he says. His disciples must be people who constantly forgive those who sin against them. There is no limit. You, dear disciple, must forgive those who sin against you. And if you don't, you will eternally perish in hell. So that rather urgently then brings up the question of how. How can you regularly, how can you constantly forgive this sin of the one who sins against you once, twice, 491 times, and many, many more. How is it possible? The answer is sort of embedded in Jesus' question in verse 33. And so you might see it more clearly. Translate verse 33 out of the Greek for you more literally than the ESV does. Here goes. Verse 33. It was necessary then, wasn't it, that you have mercy on your fellow slave as I also have had mercy on you? Now, in this story, there's really only one answer to that question. And the answer is yes. It was necessary for mercy received to become mercy given. It was necessary to have the debt forgiven, to receive mercy, and then to turn around and show that mercy by forgiving the debt owed. The servant in the parable owed some ridiculously enormous debt. 10,000 talents. A talent, it is 20 years worth of wages. That's 200,000 years, or 73 million days of work. That's outrageous. And so are the servant's words. Be patient with me, and I will repay you. No, he won't. He can't. He won't live for another 200,000 years. He has nothing. This debt is more than crushing. It is impossible. The parable, then, has nothing to do with patience, does it? It has everything to do with mercy. Stunning and unforgettable mercy. Now, scripturally, you can define mercy in a number of ways. But one way that you can define mercy from Scripture is it means that you don't get what you deserve. The wages of sin is death. Think about that. How many sins have you committed today? This past week? This past month? This past year? Throughout all of your life? And how many times have you come here? How many times have you been out there in the world and said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to indulge in evil thoughts, sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, drunkenness, holding on to grudges. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you did. You did the very thing you said you were not going to do. The very thing, the very sin you hate. Wretched man, wretched woman that you, that me, that we are. How many times have you confessed your sins before God, saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. The wages of sin is death. How broad, how high, how deep, how vast is your debt, is my debt. Now, when has God ever looked at you, grabbed hold of your throat, began choking you and saying, pay what you owe? Never. Because that, dear repentant sinner, is not how it works in the kingdom of God. Instead, he says, I forgive you all your sins. Again and again, I forgive you all your sins. Week after week, day after day, year after year, decade after decade, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's mercy. And God's mercy is so broad and so high and so deep and so vast and so powerful that he sent Jesus to call tax collectors and sinners. He sent Jesus to give rest to the weary and to proclaim liberty to the captive slaves in sin. In mercy, Jesus went and sold everything. He sold everything he had. Head, back, ears, voice, hands, feet, side, blood, life. He sold everything he had on the cross. And in powerful mercy for you and me, in seeing the debt, he had compassion. He had mercy. And he forgave the debt so that you and I would be free. That's how broad and high and deep and vast and powerful God's mercy is. It's stronger than sin. It's stronger than the devil's accusations. It's stronger than death. Mercy lives. Mercy is risen from the dead. And that mercy, this Jesus, he comes to me and he comes to you. So let me ask you a question that makes sense only in terms of mercy. It's necessary then, isn't it, that you have mercy on your fellow slave as Jesus had mercy on you? And the answer is yes. Yes, it was and is necessary to receive mercy. And it is necessary, having received mercy, to let go of the grudge you hold and the revenge you harbor, and to show mercy by forgiving the debt owed to you. To forgive as you have been forgiven in Christ. You see, when God's mercy sets you free, then you set others who have sinned against you free. When God's mercy softens your heart, even when it's hard, and when you don't know when the hurt will go away, and even when it makes no sense at all, Jesus opens our lips to say, "I forgive you." It is necessary. Mercied, I will show mercy. Forgiven, I will forgive. It just makes sense. It's just who you are in Christ, dear Christian. Now and forever. Amen.